Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today the fourth of the organizers for the Midwest Reiki community, Tracy Ostrand. And I'm so excited that she's on the show. And I'm just going to dive right in. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Phyllis.
That's great. Wonderful. And I'm excited for you to be here, too. So first things first, okay. I'd love for you to tell us your Reiki story, like you met Reiki and
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, and I'll start with that I'd like to preface with that I had not such a happy childhood. There was a lot of trauma, a lot of depression and movements. And so, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I went to therapy. I kind of faced all my demons, and that was wonderful and very helpful. And yet, when I found Reiki, which was about a decade later, I think I was 30 exact time, it literally, I think of my life as before Reiki and after Reiki because it was so transformative. It just reached into all those old places and released that energy, that pain, that it just took it to a whole nother level. And I have, you know, in the years since Reiki opened me and brought me home, I would say, I experienced joy and love and happiness that as a child I would never have dreamt possible. How I was introduced, it was kind of fun actually. I had an early career and did the college thing a little bit later. And me and my friend were organizing a club that was about bringing in Tai Chi and yoga and these different kind of alternative therapies and ideas. And we were writers. And so we would bring that in, experience it, and then add that to our writing. And so it was magic because I cannot tell you how we found out about these Reiki ladies or where we got their information from, but somehow we got them there. And for me, I remember watching them walk down the hallway towards us and, you know, and I say this in a beautiful way, it was like witches of Eastwick, you know, like there was just this power in them that I could feel. And not like, again, I say this in a good way, not like a creepy power or anything like that, but just this, there was something there. There was an energy, even though I wasn't aware of it at the time, that I was able to see. And I was really impressed by even just walking towards us. And anyway, so they, you know, talked about Reiki and some of the, you know, science behind it and how it felt and the different things. And then everyone there got a 15-minute Reiki session. And my Reiki session, I mean, the second she put her hands on me, I was in another world. I felt like I was on a ship swaying back and forth. I literally felt like her hands were inside of me. I could see, I had these images of this gray gunk just moving up and out my throat. And I mean, it was, at that time, it was literally the most amazing experience I ever had.
Right. Well, sounds like an amazing experience. Wow.
It was. So obviously from that, I was like, yes, sign me up, you know, bring me more. And I went through all the levels of training as quickly as I could and then started teaching myself so that I could pass this on to others. And that's my story.
So let's see. There was something Oh, sorry, I've sort of lost my train of thought. Okay, so how many years ago was that?
Well, I'm going to be 37, so seven, 8 years ago.
7, 8 years ago, wow.
Which, you know, in one regard, it's like, wow, has it really been that long? And in another regard, I can't believe I've only been practicing Reiki for that long. And oftentimes people will, when people ask me, how long have you been doing this? I just want to say lifetime. You know?
Right. Right. Well, it sounds like, I always tell people that, well, that was in a past life. And what I mean is like, you know, 15 years ago, like before Reiki or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
It does feel like lifetimes ago. And it's an amazing process. So then, were you always in Chicago then? Did you meet these people in Chicago and that's where you took Reiki?
It was in Chicago. I actually, when I was 18, I left Chicago. I actually lived all over the world, and that was such a blessing. And there, you know, travel is an amazing teacher.
It is.
Well, it, yeah, definitely. And I moved back probably about 10 years ago. So it was just, I spent a few years in Chicago before I found Reiki and my whole world opened up.
Wow. And so then you've taught and practiced in Chicago, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And then was it you that had this idea of the Midwest Reiki community, or was this just like a spontaneous happening from a group of people?
Well, I mean, I was the spark or the initiator or whatever you want to call it. But this is without a doubt, I mean, this is a co-creation. And that was actually when the idea came to me, and I'm a very impulsive person, and it just kind of came bowling, you know, over me or through me.
Right.
Like this, let's create this community. I didn't have a name for it at the time, but it was just, let's create union within the Reiki community. That was really the impetus. One of my beliefs is that, you know, we're moving out of the age of separation and into the age of union, or out of fear and into love, or whatever you want to call it. And we're doing this as a community, actually, as a species, as all humans, you know, moving this evolution forward. And so I was thinking, like, you know, the first place to create union is start to find that space in yourself, and where am I not in that union? Where am I in separation or not in agreement with myself? And if there's any place that second place would be developing, you know, it should be in our healing communities. And Reiki, I believe, is the one that's really the first energy therapy that's really going to really go mainstream, and where it will be as big as yoga. So that was kind of where the idea came from, and what the impetus was for me, like, let's create this Reiki community. And I was very, and what I wanted to do too is, I didn't want there to be a leader. I didn't, and I'm also a bit of an idealist.
Good.
So I wanted it to be a co-creation, this co-creation. And so I just put out a call to all the Reiki, all my Reiki students and all Reiki teachers that I knew from any lineage, from anywhere, and everyone, and said, who wants to create this with me? And Heather McCutcheon was one of the first people who came and said, yes, yes, let's do this. And there was Jack, who also was in the beginning, a manifester and a creator of this. And then shortly after that, Gina Molly, who you also, you know, interviewed along with Heather, were the ones who really, really stood up. And so my initial, like, no hierarchy, had to fall away a little bit, in the sense that we were the ones who all just kept moving it forward and moving it forward and moving it forward. So we're now, as this is growing and moving, we're kind of now looking again in how do we make this more of a co-creation? How do we bring this person in or that person in, or what does this person have to offer? So yeah, I mean, it's been a beautiful journey. I know it's going to continue to be a beautiful journey, and without a doubt, co-creation, definitely.
Wow, great. Good. Well, I agree with you that the energy, I'd like to call it Reiki, is really moving us, and I will be so bold as to include everyone who's listening and who is interested in Reiki, moving us to really go to what you would call co-creation, because it just is the obvious next step.
Yeah, definitely.
It calls in all of us some interesting dynamic. And, you know, I've been around for several more years than you in the Reiki community and actually on the planet. And you know, it just calls out in me having to give up some of my old habits of thought and so on. And it's been fairly intense sometimes, and I'm finding in interviewing you all that it's really making it much easier. So I just want you to know that you're
beautiful.
Yeah, it's
thank you.
Because the pitch of enthusiasm and clarity about what you're doing seems to just take over, and I don't have to worry about all the other stuff.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And yeah, that whole thing about constantly having to redefine ideas or thoughts or habits that you've had, what's amazing to me is how fast it's happening now. It's like, you know, like one thing gets modified one day, and it's like the very next day there's a new modification or a new truth to start to move into. So,
right.
Yeah, it's exciting though. It's beautiful.
Very, very exciting. And it's hard work for people like me who are over 60. We will say that. So,
right.
So great, and it's good to have mentors like you. So tell me, I think that you understand what I'm talking about as far as having to let go of belief systems about how different people do Reiki and which one is the right one. And I've never had that particular thing going on, but my shtick has mostly been that I feel like I got involved with other people's way of working with Reiki because they kept referring to me. And
right.
And I would just say, well, why don't you guys just do it on your own? You know, like you don't need me.
Right.
But it's been interesting to just accept that role and not take it personally.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This has been my really good and big lesson and learning over the last years, and it's been fruitful. You know, the last two or three years have been really fruitful.
Beautiful.
So I'm wondering if someone like you has things that you feel like you've accumulated that you need to have let go of, or did you find it difficult at all to just open yourself up and say, okay, let's do this, let's be cooperative, let's go for it?
Oh my gosh, Phyllis. Like, my intentions were so good and spot on, and my heart was open, and I said yes. And then I jumped in, and all kinds of stuff came up for me.
Really? Oh, I don't feel alone.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I have had, you know, ego has come into play, and I've had to, and I don't believe, you know, we have such this ego is wrong, and I don't have that. I don't believe it's wrong. I think it can be very useful and a great motivator. And yet there were times I definitely needed to curb my ego. What has happened for me even recently, and I thought I had already let go of this, because I did feel, even as I said, this is a co-creation, I could feel myself owning it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I really felt like I let go of that. And just recently some things came up and some things moved, and it was a realization of, wow, I'm still owning this. And it's not mine to own. And so now I'm going on a whole, on such a deep level of not just the MRC, but all things and all creations of not owning it. It's not mine, you know? And trying to really find that balance between, ta-daing, you know, in a good way, not in a ego way and not in a, but just standing up and saying, yes, I did this and this is good. And turning your shine on, which is actually, what my kind of motto is, or what my business itself is called, Turn Your Shine On, because it is about, being the magnificence and the beauty and the awe and the wonder of the all, and letting that shine through us. And yet I am moving finding my way through letting go of any kind of ownership or letting go of any kind of anything that would hold this creation back. So it's been such a beautiful, you know, the impetus for it was you know, coming from a place of giving and creating. And what I have received has been so huge, and especially on in a way that helps me transform. Uh-huh. And it's been, yeah, and it's been really beautiful. Oh, I have to tell you. So one of the greatest things is, you know, it's four people who run this, who make all the decisions. There's no leader. We all decide together. And I love that it's four and not three. Because if it's three, there's like that odd man out, you know, like,
yes,
just get voted down. But where it's four, we have to find, and I don't like even the word compromise, we have to find something new. This is what's happening. So we had a Skype session to talk about a bunch of different things, and there was some, you know, in emails back and forth of a couple people feeling this way and a couple people feeling that way. So we had to find some solution. And it was so beautiful because we weren't compromising. We created something new. So I would feel this kind of tension of, well, they want this and we want that. And where do you go? And where do you go? And then all of a sudden the energy would shoot up when someone had a brilliant idea that not only solved the problem, but it was a better creation than the either or we were dealing with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So it's so beautiful, the four of us. And even if there's, strife, you know, like we've gotten angry with each other, and yet there's such a underlying trust and commitment. And we know that, you know, we support each other in the end. So it's beautiful.
That's fabulous. You know, it's, I've been working, with this man whose, work is to, teach, communities regenerative development, regenerative community development, sorry. And he works through things called frameworks, which are these little fairly simple diagrams, but they contain so much more.
Right,
and
right.
One of my favorites, which changed my life about 5 years ago, was one called Activating and Restraining Force. So there's in everything, even in our cellular structure, there's activating and restraining force. And it's this combination of the two and using 100% of both of these energies that creates the creative spark. And you add to that inspiration and you come out with something new.
Oh, beautiful.
And what we've learned often in our lives is to compromise, is mm-hmm. to shave a little bit off the activating. Well, you know, you've got way too much energy here. Or shave a little bit off the restraining force, and because, well, okay, if you'll agree that we'll shave this off, then will you agree? And then it becomes a compromise, but then nobody's really happy.
Exactly.
And the creative process hasn't really been evoked.
Yeah.
So it's so wonderful to hear that. And, you know, I'm working with a lot of boards, and they always have an odd number, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and you know why, of course, because of the age-old thing, you know, let's have an odd number so we don't have to, you know, have a voting tie.
Right.
But the truth is that you shouldn't have one anyway.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to be voted down now. This is all about a consensus.
Yeah.
And allowing the person who actually has what we might call in the old days the dissenting vote, actually having them make a difference by holding that space of dissension and saying, okay, so we don't see the value of this right now, but we want you to hold it because someday we will. And when we will, something else will change.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly it.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. So I'm really impressed that you all have just done this sort of on your own and just going with it. And I'm wondering, would you say that your impetus or your inspiration to do this has been simply Reiki?
Definitely. Well, you know, what I say with Reiki is that I love Reiki. I use Reiki every day. I will always use Reiki. I will always teach Reiki. And I do feel that it's a gateway, to some of these other energy modalities. And yet, you know, what's interesting to me is that what I feel like is that the Reiki and the attunement and the cleanses and the movement that you go through, there's like a correlation between that and finding these other energy therapies or these other healing modalities that take you deeper into a process. Did I explain that right?
Maybe not.
Okay.
I'd love another take on that one.
That's why I shocked. So first of all, let me ask you, Phyllis, do you teach or have, or do you know about the way that I was taught? What I was taught was that when you go through the attunement at each level, you go through something called the 21-day cleanse.
Uh-huh.
Is that something that you're familiar with, or?
I'm familiar with it only because, people have talked to me about it.
Okay. Well, for me, I had very physical even manifestations of that cleanse and of that movement.
Uh-huh.
And whether it's like an actual 21-day cleanse or it's just part of the Reiki energy that moves you and is changing you and helping you transform and let go and move forward, what I noticed was that it feels like it brought me to these other modalities, other ways of healing, to take what the Reiki had opened and moved and was helping and even bring it further.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just to be clear about the 21-day cleanse and so on, it's not something that I have as an official kind of thing, but in my teaching, it was called reaction. And it was just a simple kind of thing where, yes, this is going to happen to you, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but something's going to happen, and when it does, your life will change.
Yeah.
Basically. And a student of mine just asked me about it, and I had to come up with some sort of wise something to say to her. So maybe this particular discussion will help me. But I know that people have gone through major shifts, in their lives. And it is cleansing because people get rid of weight. They change their diet. They sometimes move house. They sometimes leave their families. Or parts of their families, or and sometimes it's quote for the better because there's dysfunctional relationships involved, and you know all this. So it's definitely a cleansing.
Well, and I love the way you offer it, because taking that structure off of it, and just because that's the truth. Like it's, I've seen, you know, so many amazing things that people go through after they get attuned to Reiki, and to just take that structure and you know, take that off of it and just say something's going to happen. Your life's going to change.
Right.
We don't know how, but it will change. I think it's beautiful. And you had touched on a little bit before, which I believe completely, of, you know, the energy is what's important. No matter who you get attuned by, whatever lineage it is, that beautiful Reiki energy is moving in you and through you. And there's so many different ways that people teach, and so many different, you know, from different hand positions to no hand positions to cleanses to no cleanses to, you know, so many different things. And one of the things that I always say to my students is, to see me just as a guide. To use their intuition and trust their intuition more than they trust anything that I teach them.
Oh, I agree.
And the other thing I do is that I give them, sources, like, so things that I was never taught, I teach them, or at least share with them, like, I've heard about this in the Reiki community, and there's people who do this in the Reiki community, and kind of give them all this different info. And so I have a lot of students who come out of my trainings who do Reiki absolutely nothing like I do Reiki. And yet it's beautiful. It's some of the best Reiki I've ever received is from students who do it completely different than I do it.
Do you have any attachment as a quote teacher? When this happens?
I try to have as little attachment and as a little agenda as possible. I am tremendous.
Okay, that's good. Well, I just wanted to know if I was keeping up or not. I mean, what I love about you, Tracy, is just your total candidness. It's wonderful to be able to ask you about this because, you know, it's nice to have ideals. You know, I'm very idealistic also. And, you know, what I want for the world and what I want for the Reiki, global Reiki community is something that I feel like we both are very in tune with. That's what's really exciting for me about what you all are doing and what I'm into doing these days, which we will share a little bit more about later off the air. And then perhaps maybe you'll come back on the air. And I think that it's really good to acknowledge that we're human. And that we have, like, gulp moments, like, oh, gulp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get to, like, go scream for a while and then come back.
Right. Definitely.
So, great. Well, I appreciate your willingness to share as much as you can, you know, about the practice, because I think laying it all out and then being able to allow trust, well, not allowing, but actually it seems like for me to trust the student to choose their own path out of all the things that are offered is a huge letting go, you know, of teacher's ego. And I use ego very lightly because we need ego. It's just not a bad thing. But it is something that is good to acknowledge for me, and this is my theory anyway, and that this ego part is really the part that also motivates us to stick to our innate ideals and our innate motivations as a human being.
Yeah.
So it's great that you're able to offer your students possibilities.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm huge.
Trying to find out how to be the version of myself when I'm teaching in everyday life.
Well, yes. But that's, you know, that's who, what our path is about as human beings, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all, really all about.
Yeah. Yeah, without doubt. And we're all on this beautiful journey together.
Right. Well, you know, I on one hand, I kind of envy you for, because I don't know how old you are, but I've decided you all are in your 30s and maybe in your 20s. Is that?
30s, and I won't say who, but we might have someone in their 40s.
Really? Might, huh? Well, you know, you all come from a kind of a different generation than I do. Like, I was just talking to a group of people who's like, I'm going to be 65 in a couple of weeks, or maybe a week. God.
And, happy birthday.
Thank you. And, next week I think it is. Maybe I'm into denial. I don't know.
I'm August 23rd.
Really? I'm August 22nd.
Ah, I love it.
Oh, great. No wonder we're pretty similar, seems
like. Yeah,
anyway, so I said, you know, these women, they don't know what it was like to, like, have one Reiki practice in the world. Oh. You know, it's like, and they don't know what it's like to be able to count on your hands, you know, the number of masters, practically, that you knew. You know, and these were all the masters that we knew of in the world.
Wow.
There were some, of course, in Japan, and I assumed that there were masters in Japan just because of my grandmother's stories. But we didn't know them, and at that point we had no way to locate them, right? Because we still were writing letters.
Right.
And the fax machine was really this big thing that happened for instant communication. And I can remember, you know, in the late 1980s, like, kicking the fax machine, saying, you know, like, why aren't you working? Because, you know, you're giving me this instant communication, and now that's, like, so slow.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So I feel like I'm doing a kind of breaking and entering. You know, I'm breaking up my old patterns of speed, what speed feels like to me and what communication feels like to me and what the definition of words like friends. Like I went on Facebook and I had to redefine or add to my definitions of friend, the word friend, a whole other definition, because, you know, friends on the virtual community are really different. And it's so energetic. I'm amazed.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I envy your freshness in just starting in this world and being able to have enough time to have expertise or some modicum of comfort, anyway, in using it. And being able to see that this is really of value.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't even have to question that. And that's what I find really stimulating.
Yeah, definitely.
Very stimulating. I don't have to go, well, is this really going to work? Like, what will happen, you know, 10 years from now? I mean, that's not even in your thought process, would be my guess. And for me, it's like going back into my history and saying, well, what was it like back then? And what will it be like in the future? And just being present. I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be a pioneer, you know, is such an amazing endeavor as well. And to have helped to take it as far as you have is so amazing. And I know we were so excited when you contacted us, and all four of us were just like, oh my gosh, you know. So thank you. Thank you for doing all that you've done, and for holding the torch now with us.
Ah, you're welcome. It's my pleasure, and it's, you know, one of my things right now is about succession and legacy. Mm-hmm. And it's really stimulating to meet you and other people like you in the community where I trust the legacy of what's happening. And that's huge for me.
Yeah.
That's really huge. And, you know, I know that there are people in my community who will steward the practice as I have it. But in the whole thing, there's got to be this, you know, my dream is, or my idea, is that the overarching thing underneath where everybody can sort out and find the way that they do hand positions and so on, is this overarching thing about Reiki community and what the whole community has to offer the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, William Rand was really interesting when he first became very prominent in the Reiki community. He and I had a difference of opinion. My idea was to initiate those who came and to allow them to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the practice. For me, that was the thing that gave the practice validity and value. Mm-hmm. And for him, it was like, let's see how many people we can initiate in the world and do it as fast as possible.
Right, right.
And it seemed like a kind of just, you know, opposite kind of thing. And I think that we ended up polarizing one another very beautifully
in
some way. I mean, it was kind of one of those things. And now what I see is that his commitment to Reiki and all the people who started in those early days are still around. Mm-hmm. And they have the kind of passion that I do for Reiki. They have the kind of vision that I do for Reiki. And so it brings me to a place of seeing how strong the common things are and that these common threads can link together to create this umbrella piece that I feel like is really important right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if we can do it, I always used to say, if we can do it in Reiki, then we can do it in the rest of the world.
Exactly. Yeah, and we just had, you know, an interesting thing come up where we were going to participate in an event and we were being told how to practice Reiki. Like, there was certain things that we couldn't do. And part of the inclusion of the all-inclusive is accepting that. Like, it's not just about accepting that people do things, you know, maybe differently, or this person was taught that, or this person was taught that, but it's also about accepting people or ideas that are limiting. Does that make sense? So it's like, it almost seems counterproductive, and yet, if you're all inclusive, if you're going to welcome all lineages and all teachers of Reiki, then even the one that, you know, you think may have judgment that is limiting it in some way, if you're not working with them, if you're not willing to include them in the community, then it's not all inclusive.
Right. Right. Well, you know, this is the paradox of the whole thing. It's like, I want to be able to keep my practice and not have people impinge on it and allow my students to, my not meaning possessive, but the students who practice under this lineage, to practice without being harassed.
Yes.
And I would like to create the same environment for everybody else who practices.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to do that. And yet the interesting thing is then, like, imagine that we would have a global Reiki conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where all these different, and, you know, the students of masters, and a lot of the masters themselves, they don't really have a definitive form. You know, like I really do, because I'm like at the end of the stick, so to speak, right? And I don't know if very many other people do, like William or Walter Lubeck or Frank Pater or all these people. But, you know, I I know that there are lots of masters who think that they're doing something, but their practice is actually more like something that I would call something else. And yeah. And on some level, it doesn't really matter. So say that we had 1,000 people at this global Reiki conference, and mm-hmm. we all practiced a lot of different practices, like hand positions and stuff. Then what happens when you come down to the very essence of practice, which is how do we share Reiki together, right? Mm-hmm. So I find this to be a great question, and it's going to be something that we have to bring the activating and restraining framework, you know, to bear here, because nobody should have to compromise, and everybody should be happy. That's how I feel. Yeah. So one of the things that has happened in the UK is that they got together about, I think, more than 10 years ago at the call of one of the ministers or something in the government to make a definition of Reiki that would be satisfactory to everybody, not in a compromise way, but in a really way. You know, I really stand behind this. And also a definition or description of a Reiki treatment. And they've done it. And when you read this document, it just brings tears to your eyes, because you get who stands behind it. Yeah, and that the energy that stands behind it just is so overwhelmingly to the core that you can't help but say yes. Right? And it's really beautiful. So I'm trying to myself struggle with this paradox of, okay, then do we let everybody just do the hand positions that they want? Or do we let everybody ask people, this is the kind of treatment I want, and as a Reiki practitioner, that's what I deserve? And so as the Reiki treaters, or, you know, people who are doing the Reiki, we should be able to treat someone how they want, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or do we create a Reiki treatment that's just for the conference, that has within it all the elements of all the treatment practices, and everybody can stand behind that and say, when we're together, this is a Reiki treatment, and when we're not together, we can treat how we want to in our separate practice. So I'm just interested in knowing how you feel about that.
Well, for me, I mean, I'm of the belief that putting any kind of structure on it would actually limit it. I know for me, when I'm working on someone, it's very different how I give Reiki when I'm working on this person as opposed to this person and that person.
Right.
So to have one, to me, what it feels like to me, to have one way of doing it, even if you include everything, still has that compromise energy on it. It has that, or it has, for me, it feels limiting. It feels limiting. Whereas to say it's the energy. It's not about where you put your hands or if you do this or do that. It's the energy that is coming through is the Reiki energy. And the person is going to experience that the way that they need to experience it. And I also believe that this person is drawn to get Reiki from this person because the way that they give and move it is the way that the person can best receive it. Whereas another person is going to be drawn to this other teacher or this other Reiki practitioner because they're the best match for how this person can receive the energy. So I believe more in leaving some of the details up to the universe, up to the all, up to the weaving, and just to be the best channel that we can possibly be for that divine energy to move through us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my thought on it. And yet I know there would be people who, you know, disagree with that. I can tell Phyllis that we are both definitely idealists. And I think we're moving as a species again. I feel like we're moving towards the time where what we were talking about, where it's constantly new creations and there's they're never compromised. You know, that's coming, and that's what we're moving towards. And so it's kind of fun for us, I think, to try to move towards that and create that while there's still so much old energy around, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's what makes it so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Well, good for you. I have a new kind of ideal to work up to.
Don't we always?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I found this in my own practice. So in the beginning, the form, what I call the form, was pretty loose in this in one sense, because we didn't have any outside influence. It was the only practice. So, you know, there were two things. You learned a form, and Reiki went where it was needed. Mm-hmm. And when you go and treat someone, Reiki will guide you and guide your hands, and you will be guided intuitively where to put your hands. So the form is what you think you might be doing, but the actual treatment might look really different.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it was a balance. And then people, in a reaction to all the different forms of practice that were, you know, coming about, the emphasis, or my emphasis on the form, was really pervasive. And then I realized that I had to back off that, because people were not getting that the free part of that,
yeah,
which is,
yeah,
that you follow the energy and you might spend, you know, a half an hour on one position, you know, in a treatment,
yeah,
and that would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been interesting to refine the balance of that, mm-hmm, and to trust. And also, this is a really interesting question that I feel like comes underneath that, and that is, like, what is the value of a form?
What is the value of a form?
Of a form of practice. Like, what is the value of that? Because,
yeah,
I've always, from my perspective, I've always felt like there was a really clear, distinct value of a form that I, and without that initial premise, I wouldn't be so passionate about stewarding a certain form through the waters of change. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, that feels like a really interesting question to address at some point. And yes, and I have very soon a group of people coming to really look at some of these very fundamental questions. I think I will definitely write that one down. Yeah, because it's like, we need to understand that it's not just out of habit. It's not dogma. It's,
uh-huh,
not that we're better. It's just that there's a value that we feel. Well, what is that value?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And,
well,
then if you know your value, then in any moment you can give up that value for the benefit of the greater good.
Okay.
It doesn't get hooked into your personal practice.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, good food,
yeah,
for thought.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And the other thing that was coming as you were first talking about this is again, that I think it's beautiful, even though I'm not, you know, and my teacher was actually very, this is Reiki, this is how you do it, there's only one way, and it's my way. And she was an amazing teacher, a wonderful teacher. And, you know, for me, it just didn't fit. Once I started doing the research and finding all these different things, you know, I wanted to incorporate that, and I'm just a much more free person, we'll say.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. How amazing is it that we have these teachers who are more left brain, or more have this really in place structure with it, for those people who that's what they need.
Uh-huh.
Who, you know, there's people who they could not come to my class and really feel like they had learned Reiki. They would,
uh-huh,
need to go to someone who said, here's the 12 hand positions, here's exactly what happens. And someone who would answer every question they had with precision or with, you know, an actual answer. Whereas a lot of times, you know, my answer is, I don't know.
Yeah, great.
You know? So I think it's beautiful that there's, that we do have that, so that we're still serving all these differences, and so that people, anyone can come to Reiki and find a teacher, who's gonna be a good, you know, match for them.
Yes.
And that's what you started to move on to was so, I'm gonna say it's profound, and I don't even, I'm glad that you started talking about it, and I'm excited to start exploring that a little bit, because I don't even have words for it yet, of how I want to move with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this idea of, well, World Conference is a bit on the edge of grandiose, but there's something about that, you know, this vision eventually of being able to call a community, you know, a community meeting, so to speak, not even a conference, but a community meeting where everybody in Reiki is welcome, and we actually, and whoever it is that is, you know, doing the organization actually has the possibility of truly welcoming everyone.
Yeah.
And that would be just tremendous. And I know it would really push a lot of my buttons, and it would be really good to have those buttons pushed, because, you know, these are the old things. I mean, I've been practicing and teaching Reiki, well, practicing Reiki for most of my life and teaching Reiki for the last 35 or 36 years or something. So you get ingrained. I mean, you get entrenched, and the part of the entrenchment is fine for me, but there's another part that I don't want it to become limiting. I want it to become beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing though. And it's so beautiful, you know, to talk with you, and thank you for sharing with me, because it's really wonderful to see, you know, that evolution or growth, doesn't end. You know, you haven't like just put the stick in the mud and said, okay, I've reached it.
Oh no, definitely not.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Reiki is calling us to do this. I am first and foremost a student of Reiki.
Yeah.
And so I have a bit more, experience than others that I can teach. But the teaching is really to share the very basic fundamental connection with Reiki. Yeah. And then really and truly for every person, it's their right to create their relationship how they want it and how they need to have it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then even with other modalities, we just on Monday we went to a huge event that the VA was putting on, and Healing Touch, which I actually have never experienced Healing Touch, and I cannot tell you what the difference is between Healing Touch and Reiki. And yet it was these Healing Touch practitioners had invited the Reiki practitioners to come, and we worked together. Some people actually partnered up and were giving Reiki and Healing Touch to one person at the time. But the whole point was that, you know, we partnered, and people were receiving either Reiki or Healing Touch, or like I said, sometimes both. And it was so beautiful to see, even within having two, you know, different modalities, no one got territorial. No one was like, oh, Reiki's better than Healing Touch, or Healing Touch is better than Reiki. We all used each other's massage tables, and just, it was just so beautiful to witness and to watch that the energy behind it, and the energy behind all of the different healing energies, is love and sharing and helping people. So, so to do this within the own, you know, our Reiki community, and then to bring it out in other healing communities, and then to spread it, you know, across the world, is just a wonderful goal to have, I think.
That's a beautiful story, Tracy, because, you know, in the past, when Healing Touch became very big along with Reiki, there was a great animosity between the two.
Yeah,
and it's really beautiful to hear that and to imagine that happening. It really touches me.
Yeah, definitely. Good.
That's great. Well, I know that the Midwest Reiki community is doing its best to support Reiki students in practicing. That's your kind of sphere that you're following, and I think it's a great direction.
Yeah, it is. It is. And really, I mean, it's also, we really, and Heather really is responsible for initiating the whole outreach part. And honestly, I would say it's both. It's equal now, where we're supporting, Reiki practitioners and different, people and teachers and spreading the word and all of that. And also we're really doing these outreach events where we're reaching populations that wouldn't normally, have access to Reiki, which is, you know, it's amazing to me. The more you try to give, the more you receive. It's just like, it's almost not even possible to give because you just receive so much. So, thank you.
Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you. Well, Tracy, can you believe it? It's almost time to say goodbye.
Wow.
What a wonderful conversation.
I can talk about you forever.
Thanks. So hopefully we will get some FaceTime, I mean real FaceTime, at some time in the next 12 months or so. That would be really cool for me.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
So I would just like to ask you, since we're two idealists talking to one another, what is it that you really want what is your vision for the Midwest Reiki community?
Oh, geez. When, you know, I've gotten better, you know, I would say I've gotten a little bit more realistic, or I wouldn't even say that, but I am aware that my, you know, I can go really big and far. And I would like to get the entire world attuned to Reiki. You know, we had talked about, I would love to have a chapter of the MRC in every single country in the world. And it doesn't, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be the MRC, but I would like to have some representative of Reiki, you know, in every country of the world. And at the same time, I want to, you know, when I say I want to attune everyone to Reiki, let me rephrase that. I want to attune everyone who chooses, it, who is a yes. I don't want to force anything on anyone ever. And I want to make it available for absolutely anyone who is choosing Reiki to be able to get attuned to this energy and be a channel.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for your time and your energy. And not only that, for, you know, sometimes idealists are not the doers. And it's great that you were able to also put out the call and to hear the answers.
Yeah.
Really take advantage of them, because it's a wonderful thing to follow up on your idealism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And like I said, you know, without Gina, Molly, or Heather, none of this would have ever happened.
So, right. Well, that's cool. So you each have your strengths, and together you are a truly amazing dynamic foursome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Phyllis.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.